Discover nature by design for a beautiful view. Snows knows how to make it all easy for you. When it comes to landscaping and gardening, who knows how to create the perfect scene? Snow knows. Snow's Garden Center.
Good morning and welcome to the Snow Nose Garden Show, the longest continuously running garden show in the nation, the most listened to weekend talk radio show in Central Virginia. We are live each and every Saturday morning, and we have been live since the spring of 1950. Thank you so much for joining and listening to us. I'm Corbin Snow.
I'm Norm Carlson.
And we are here live this morning, unlike the last 2 weeks where we were... The studio is vacated, and we were playing some of the best of shows and things like that. With it, the show falling on Christmas Day and New Year's Day, we had a little vacation from the show. Norman,
I know
it was kind of nice.
It was.
No, I actually really missed all the listeners and all the wonderful phone calls we usually receive, but it was nice. And we want to start the show off by wishing a very happy birthday to Dakota Thompson Diggs. Happy birthday to you, Dakota. Her birthday is Sunday, January 9th. So happy birthday from all of us at Snows and WINA. Happy birthday. Hope you have a wonderful day. If you'd like to join the show this morning, our number, as always, is 977-1070. If you'd like to call us with any gardening questions, if you have any questions about your plants, trees, shrubs, perennials, annuals, lawns, house plants, pests, rodents, insects, diseases, weeds, or something just looks funny out there in the garden, give us a call at 977-1070. What's looking funny out in the garden? Some little white stuff.
I know, the
out
white
there
stuff
this morning. Totally unexpected.
Yeah.
You know, they kept talking about having flurries for the last couple of days, and you know, the percentages were really low, and went to bed with no expectations at 5:30, my wife comes into the bedroom and with the baby and says, there's snow outside. Did you know that? I was like, no.
Yeah, I woke up this morning, looked out the window. It snowed.
I was like, what?
No, it snowed.
Speaking of snow, it looks like we might have some more white stuff coming next week. And just want to remind people, get your snow shovels this year. If you remember, The entire city of Charlottesville ran out of snow shovels last season with all that snow. And looking at the extended forecast and future forecast, it looks like we're going to kind of stay in this trend of moisture. So we could be flirting with a couple inches, 1 to 3 inches, maybe early next week. So it's always a good idea to have your snow shovel and all your salt and all the materials you'll need to dig yourself out. Especially if you live in the city where you can be slapped with a pretty hefty ordinance if it's not cleaned off within 24 hours.
That's it.
I was reading that article. It went from, it was 10 or 12 hours, the previous ordinance, and they extended it to 24. And I'm thinking, who is clearing their sidewalks within 24 hours? I mean, or preceding that in 10 or 12 hours. I mean, yeah. That's like, you got to be on
you
it.
You got to be right on it.
Yeah. But anyway, thankful I don't live in the city.
I don't have sidewalks. Well, I take
you're
that back.
Out in the country, man. You don't have to worry about doing anything. you live in no homeowners association. There's no one governing over you to tell you what
right,
you can
man.
And can't do.
I know.
How does that feel?
It feels great. It feels like America. Some of these HOAs, I tell you, they get a little. It can be a little over the top. And, you know, we deal with a lot of the HOAs around the area.
Yeah.
In trying to help people stay within the covenants when they're doing landscape projects and things like that. And sometimes it can be a challenge making sure that you've got all of your I's dotted and your T's crossed. And
oh, well, it's funny. You know, you mentioned we're talking about HOAs. I was looking at gardening trends for 2011. And one of the things it mentions is that the problem that homeowners and gardeners in particular are having with HOAs when it comes to the size of gardens they're installing and planting. You know, so people, you know, who traditionally would have a yard are planting corn and they're planting these elaborate gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, what typically comes along with garden, some type of livestock. So you have people right. that are bringing in chickens and little piggies and and no, seriously, this was in the article. That's, you know, it's still one of the hottest trends for 2011 is that, you know, that
home production.
Yeah. And you're starting to see more of that. And they were just talking about the problems that they're, you know, that homeowners are running into with homeowners associations with the ordinance and bylaws that are in place. You know, it doesn't allow or you know, there's no room for any of that.
Right. Well, it's like, you know, just this past year, the city council here in Charlottesville was working on the issue of being able to have goats.
Right.
In the city.
Yeah. And they approved that.
Yeah.
Yeah. With so I guess that's a good reason to live in the city. You can have goats. Let's go to the phone lines. If you'd like to join us on the Snow Nose Show, our number is 977-1070. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you have a question for us?
Yes. I have three boxwoods. These are not the the English boxwoods.
Yeah, the American?
The American, yes.
Okay.
And I guess the bottom part, the roots would be like maybe 5 feet from each other. However, I have not been able to trim them for 2 years.
Okay.
And they have grown together.
Okay. So the trunks of the boxwoods are close together.
Yes.
So they're planted closely together, and they're starting to grow into each other.
Yeah, they've already started growing into each other.
Okay.
I want to know how far back I can cut them, and when could I cut them?
Okay, that's a great question.
One of the great things about boxes is they respond very, very well to pruning. You can actually it takes them a while because they're so slow growing, but even with some fairly drastic pruning, they come back pretty well. One of the issues that you're going to run into where they've kind of started to grow together is the hardest area on any plant, boxwood, hollies, forsythia, anything in any kind of a shrub, the most difficult area on a shrub to get to respond and fill back in after it's pruned is on the sides because of the issue of shading. On the top, you know, they get plenty of sun. The foliage up there has got lots of exposure to light. But on the sides, it can be more difficult, especially on the north side of the plant that's, you know, just by nature in the shade mm-hmm. of itself. And those areas can be kind of difficult to get to fill back in. So as you're doing that pruning, it's trying to separate those boxwoods. You can do it, and this is a great time to do it now, anytime till new growth starts.
Bless you.
Excuse me. But one thing that you want to make sure that you do as you're separating them is make sure that you slope the plant back from the base toward the top. In other words, make sure that you keep the base of the plant wider than it is up at the top so that you're sure to be able to get as much light as possible onto those lower limbs so that any bare spots that you create in trying to separate those plants from each other will be able to get light, which will help to ensure that it fills back in and you've got good uniform growth across there.
Right, that's a very good suggestion there. I like that, to keep the bottom apart like that.
Mm-hmm.
And just wanted to pass on to you, during the summertime, these are sort of like on the west side of the house. and they will get all the sun in the afternoon.
Okay.
Like maybe during the summertime, they'll start getting sun at high noon and so forth, and it'll be there until the sun sets later in the evening.
Okay. Yeah, so that's going to be a good spot for them to, and you know, with that kind of exposure and everything, you should be able to get good light in between them.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and I wish you well on your program.
Oh, thank you very much, and thanks for listening.
Thank you.
And you know, a good time to prune those, like Norma said, any time of year is pretty much a great time to prune boxwood. If you have to do more significant pruning, you know, you can wait till late February, first part of March, right before all that pinned up energy and the new flush of growth is getting ready to shoot out. So you don't have to look at it, you know, being stark and bare and naked for several months. If you wait, back it up a little bit closer to the growing season before that new flush of growth comes out in the first part of spring.
Right. That's the ideal time to go in there and do real heavy pruning
on it. Let's go to line number two. Do we need to take a break?
Yeah, I think we need to take a
break. Okay, let's go to break then, and we'll come back and we'll go to line number two. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show on AM 1070 WINA. We'll be right back.
Soup. It's not for everyone. It's just for people who want to stay slim. Studies show that folks who eat soup weigh less than their non-soup-loving counterparts. And it's not for the grouchy. When was the last time you met a curmudgeon of a person over a bowl of soup? It just doesn't happen. It's not for the cold-hearted either. Soup is warm and hearty and makes you feel good when you dive in. And did we mention it's not for the unhealthy? You've heard of the mysterious healing benefits of chicken noodle soup, right? There's soup of the day, soup for your soul, talk soup, and friends that are thick as pea soup. Makes you want to have soup right now, doesn't it? Well, you can. Your friends at Zazoo's on Ivy Road have soup ready for you right now. Made fresh daily, you'll find soups like creamy seasonal butternut squash bisque or a hearty potato, jalapeno, and cheddar that'll warm you with every bite, and the robust, authentic Cuban black bean, just to name a few. Feel good, stay warm, keep healthy, and be in a good mood. Have soup today from Zazoo's on Ivy Road. Check out their new website at zazoosfreshgrillwithane.com. Today is a great soup day at Zazoo's.
I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm at home, and I'm saying, what's next for me?
I was punching a clock, hammering boards all day, going, there's got to be a better way than this.
And then a friend of mine said, well, why don't you complete your education? Then you can be the boss.
PVCC is a tremendous resource to our community. You're getting the quality of a small private college at the price of a community college. It's amazing.
PVCC is a place where you can really find your future. Go ahead, shine.
Classes begin January 18th. Register at pvcc.edu.
The show was never meant to only for people who agree with the politics, but the show is meant to be an interesting venue for ideas, and there are many people who know they will get a more fair hearing on this program, and these are people on the left end of the spectrum than they would in front of the city council. It's why they come here when they want to have equal time, and they need a voice for the voiceless. That's where people come, regardless of their politics.
The Shilling Show, weekdays from 12 to 2, is brought to you by Charlottesville Sanitary Supply.
And welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show. We are live here in the WINA studios on this beautiful Saturday morning. Temperature's going to get up right to, 38 degrees or so. Sun's peeking through. It's actually a beautiful morning. If you haven't crawled out of bed yet, there's a light, ever so light blanket of snow on the ground, just enough to make it look beautiful. If you're looking for a fun tropical getaway today, I invite you out to the Garden Center, out to our 80-degree heated greenhouse, which it's just beautiful year-round. Just got a fresh arrival and shipment of tropicals and houseplants in yesterday, in fact.
That's right.
The greenhouse is bursting with colors and beautiful orchids and bromeliads. And what else was on that shipment?
Oh, we got some cactus. There's some cyclamen. And
the cyclamen, the color of a cyclamen, it almost doesn't look real, some of the colors that you see. They're so vibrant and intense and almost like a neon glowing color.
Mm-hmm.
They're beautiful if you're not familiar with them.
We got some blooming primrose, some African violets, gardenias, anthuriums, peace lilies. Just a great assortment of neat stuff to help chase away a little bit of that gray and drab. The house always looks kind of bare and
hey, with the December we had with the temperatures, I mean, those winter blues set in early, didn't they?
Right.
With those dark days and cold days, there's nothing better to shake off those winter blues than a nice bright houseplant to brighten your day and house up.
And then compound that with, you know, now we're a week after New Year's, all the Christmas stuff is going away, and the house always looks kind of empty and bare.
Kind of looks empty and bare. It's like, what do we do with everything is a question I always have. It's funny, that Christmas morning, you feel like your house is bursting at the seam. You've got gift wrapping paper everywhere. You've got boxes. You've got 100 new toys you've introduced to the home. And you've got the Christmas tree. Everything's going on. You're like, where am I going to put all this stuff? And then, you know, a week later, you finally get control, organized. You're like, okay, where did it all go?
Yep.
So,
but it's
most of it's in the attic.
Yeah, but it's a great opportunity, you know, as you're looking around and seeing, you know, man, it's kind of looks a little drab in here with all the Christmas.
Do you want to hear a really sad statistic? I don't have one living plant in my home. That is just pathetic.
That is.
I should change that. I really should. We've got like beautiful fake plants and an orchid that we keep on one of our on our kitchen island. And everyone that comes in our home, since I'm, you know, I own a garden center and, you know, kind of into gardening a little bit, people are like, man, you always have the most beautiful orchids. And I never tell them that it's fake. I just say, oh, thank you. It is very realistic. Let's go to line number two. If you'd like to join the show, we have a few phone lines open. Give us a call at 977-1070. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Hey, guys. It's Scott.
Hey, what's up? Scott, how's it going?
It's going good. I'm on my way to an appointment out in Spring Creek this morning.
I tell you what, man. People are still gardening and landscaping and digging in that dirt.
That's it. And I wanted to remind everybody that, you know, don't forget about us during this time of year, because this is the time to make your plans. We have a little more time, you know, to really focus on some detail. This is a project that we looked at. We started looking at it in June of last year. Uh-huh. And, you know, I told them that our travel season was coming up, so it would be time for us to go out and see the newest in products. I told them it would be time to look at new containers, new pots, new plants. And, you know, I could really focus on getting this design hammered down to the detail. Now, this is a do-it-yourselfer. He wants to do everything there himself. So not only are we giving him great ideas about, you know, what to do, we're also able to put together a package for him to follow that shows him how to do it, too. So, you know, don't forget landscaping and all that stuff. You know, it can be fun. So if you have the time and you have the desire to do it, you know, just give us a call at Snows. We'll give you the ideas of, you know, a roadmap of how to get to a great result. So just wanted to keep that in mind.
And, Scott, how much are those consultations that we offer?
Well, you start with a dollar sign, and then you put a zero and a zero and a dot and a zero and a zero.
Oh, so, that's my kind of free.
That's right. So they're free. You know, give us a call. We really... Our goal at Snows is to have you be a successful gardener. You know, we don't want to come out and only see you once and come out and charge you for something, leave you with something, and then set you on your own way. You know, we really do hold your hand, whether you use one of our services, whether, you know, you buy the plants from us, and then, you know, we even maintain them for you. So I've got clients I've been seeing for, you know, 16, 17 years now, and we just keep adding a little bit, modifying, changing, and that's the way that you can definitely have success and, you know, keep your garden dynamic, easy to maintain, and really get a return on what you put into it. Because gardening is an investment. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes money. So be sure that you get the return on that investment that not only is great the day you finish, but it's great over a period of time also.
And, you know, speaking of, you know, investment and return on investment, land, you know, good professionally designed well-executed, well-maintained landscaping is one of the best home improvement investments that you can make.
It truly is. You know, the saying money grows on trees, it definitely does. You know, as your landscape matures, it just constantly is getting more valuable. And, you know, not only in terms of dollars, but it's providing so much else for you. You know, a healthy environment, you know, Corbin, I almost drove off the road when I heard you say that you don't have any plants in your house.
I know.
A plant or two. But, you know, that is a healthy environment. To have the plants around your house, they control the environment, sound, noise, you know, everything the plants can do. They're not only aesthetic. And that's kind of where I wanted to talk about today is our travel season has kind of begun. So this is a busy time in the landscape industry. You guys were on the road to Baltimore, you know, this week, And our travel season is beginning, and the thing that's happening in landscaping, especially on the design build in, is no longer are landscapes expected to be only aesthetic, meaning that they're only pretty. You have to think almost now about your yard and your garden and your property being like little factories. They have to provide something way more than just the aesthetic in. And as we start to look at design going in the future, we're really looking at sustainable landscapes that do jobs. You know, they control water, they control erosion, they even, you know, can produce water. Last year we did three properties where we actually controlled and worked on making these properties control and manufacture the water that the landscape needed. You can do it with rain gardens, you can do it with cisterns, you can do it with collection systems, and just even how you design the garden can really, really help. So as we're moving forward and as we go to the education that we've got lined up for this year, that's kind of one of the big trends that we're right on top of. So I want to make everybody aware that if there's something new going on in the garden, we're going to be finding out about it and bringing it directly to you.
Scott, we're up against a hard break. We're going to have to let you go. If you'd like to join us the second half, we'd love to have you back on.
That's great, guys. I'll call in next week with the schedule of upcoming events.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Have a great day.
Okay.
Bye-bye. You're listening to the Stone Nose Garden Show. We'll be right back. Thank you, and welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show. I'm Corbin Snow.
I'm Norm Carlson.
We're here for the next half an hour to answer your gardening questions and take your phone calls. Our numbers here live in the WINA studios is 977-1070, and we have cleared the phone lines. They are wide open. If you'd like to join the show, please give us a call, 977-1070. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show, brought to you by Snow's Garden Center, conveniently located just south of downtown Charlottesville on Avon Street. I would love for you to come out and visit our beautiful garden center. It is in transition, as it is most years, as we transition out of Christmas decor and products to start the lengthy build of bringing in spring, which takes several months to complete.
It'd be working on that into April.
Into April. But we literally have new arrivals and shipments coming just about every week between now and the first part of, I mean, it goes well into April, May, June. It seems like we're a new box, new shipment, a new UPS delivery is coming with some new product we've seen in a show somewhere, or a new shipment, a tractor trailer of plants or trees or shrubs. As Scott talked about, we spent, Norman, myself, and Donna went to Baltimore this past week to the Mid-Atlantic Nursery Trade Show, which if you've ever been to the Baltimore Convention Center, huge, huge convention center,
huge.
Was filled with growers and suppliers in the Mid-Atlantic area, as far north as New York and beyond, down south to Florida, over to Tennessee, all through the Carolinas, West Virginia, but growers.
Or Oregon even.
Oh, yeah Oregon, California.
Coast. Yeah.
But growers from all over the country who not only come to talk about their inventory and their pricing and new products, but they bring samples of their products. And that's the amazing part. I mean, they're bringing in large, huge specimen of trees and boxwoods, you know, 4 and 5 inch caliber trees and 20-foot boxwoods and crepe myrtle.
Yeah.
And anyway, they're all on the showroom floor. And it's wonderful to see, and it's the industry is alive and thriving and doing very, very well. And we'll talk a little bit more about that after we go to the phone lines. Again, if you'd like to join the show, we've got two lines open, 977-1070. Give us a call right now. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Yes, I have a question. I just recently moved into a house, and I have two large, what I think they're called, oak leaf hydrangeas. They're
right.
Just huge.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, right now they're just like brown sticks and dead flowers. what do I do? Do I, can I just prune them back right now, prune all that dead off? And when will they bloom? And I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer.
Great.
Thank you.
Wonderful question. Thank you.
Yeah, with oakleaf hydrangeas, they don't. Yeah, this time of year, they don't really look like a whole lot. They're, they're deciduous, lose their leaves, and they're just big brown sticks, and the dead flower heads hang on the top of them. And you can go ahead and prune those dead flower heads off now. Thin out any dead or damaged wood that's in there. Thin the plants out some and everything. You can do a little bit of cutting them back. I wouldn't cut them back dramatically unless there's an issue with them getting too big for the area where they are. They're encroaching on a sidewalk or getting in front of windows or something like that. I wouldn't do a lot of really hard cutting them back, but this is a great time to prune them, and they'll start putting out new growth in April and then start really coming into their own in July and August. That's when they'll put on their blooms, and just beautiful big trusses of white flowers that are just spectacular in the mid to late summer.
And that's, from generally speaking, most hydrangea you can do that with this time of year. There are a few that you need to wait a little bit later in the year before you want to do any real pruning or anything,
right,
on them.
The big blue ball type flowered hydrangeas, the Nico blue and those types of varieties, you really don't want to do a lot of, you can do the thinning out and the cleaning up and the removal of the dead flowers now, but you really don't want to do a lot of cutting them back. One of the problems that people run into is they'll go out and they'll see that, the plant looks like a bunch of dead sticks. I need to cut that back. So they cut it way, way back this time of year, and then come spring and summer, there's no blooms on it. You wonder,
they'll flush out and put on all that new growth, but then there'll be no flowers.
Yeah, they don't flower.
That proceed.
Right. And what if, why isn't my hydrangea flowering? As well, they typically bloom on last year's growth.
Right.
And if you go in and remove a large percentage of that now, they don't have the ability to manufacture flower buds for next season. So you want to make sure that, on those big ball flowered hydrangeas like like that, that you leave that new, that old growth on there so that it has a chance to flower for next season.
But it is okay to remove the spent flowers and blooms from last season on all hydrangea.
Right.
It's just that woody section of the plant that we're talking about.
Right.
And I'm horrible with that because I like everything tidy and neat in the garden, and it's such an easy thing to just want to prune everything back to the ground so it looks neat and clean and organized. But if you do that, you can miss out on some of the real attraction that comes with a lot of these plants and shrubs and things.
Right. And there are ways to, to neaten them up and clean them up so that, you still have, it doesn't have leaves on them. They don't have, they don't have flowers. They're not evergreen.
Right. You're just leaving the core, seven or eight big stalks coming out of the ground, if you will.
Right. And, it's kind of a perception issue also. You look at it and you see a bunch of dead sticks, but it's also, if you really look at it and it's well cleaned up,
right,
and looking the way it should, you've gotten all the dead out of it and the real scruffy twiggy growth that's in there. At some point you can also appreciate the architectural interest that it brings,
yeah,
to the garden. Those strong, yeah, sturdy stems coming up and this big structure that's gonna burst into color next spring and summer and really reward you handsomely with just some beautiful color for the coming season.
If you'd like to join the show, the phone lines are wide open. Our number, as a reminder, is 977-1070. I've got to tell you, one thing that I used to be a big proponent of and waiting to do was, and I used to, I just love the ornamental value of it, and they're so pretty, or they're, what was the ornamental grasses, leaving them up, and I don't know whether it's just one of those things I can like check off my list. Hey, it's done. I don't have to worry about doing that in the spring, but And again, they can just be so dirty, you know. They can, they're just, especially in a windy fall winter like we've had in December. Debris was being blown all over the yard, and the planting beds had just never looked clean. So I went ahead and just whacked those puppies back, and it's it's so nice. Like I miss the growth and the color and what it did add to the garden. But on the other hand, I love the fact that I can just look over there and be like, oh, okay, that's done, you know. And it does look
right,
neat and clean. It's not like talking about cutting back your ornamental grasses and liriope and things like that. You know, it's one of those projects that can be sort of a nuisance in the spring, and there's so much stuff going on in the garden. So if there's one little project you want to check off your list, and you know, maybe you're not in love with the foliage and what it looks like this time of year, you can cut those back. It's not going to cause any damage to the grasses.
Right.
It's more of a preference
thing.
So what I'm saying is my preference has changed. Doesn't mean yours has to change, but I'm not trying to, you know.
Yeah, depending on the site.
Yeah.
And, you know, for some sites, you know, particularly if we've gotten a lot of bad weather,
yeah,
they can get kind of ratty looking. And
yeah,
kind of,
I mean, if it was in my backyard, and it was that's what I was using as like a buffer to like the woods or to another property or to my neighbor, you know, I'd probably want to keep them. But mine are in the front of the front of my house, and I don't know. It just looks a lot cleaner and kind of goes with the style that I like. So.
Yeah, see, I, you know, in a scenario where they're not getting wind whipped and torn up with bad weather, I love that architectural interest.
Oh, yeah.
No,
I know where you're coming from.
That tan color that they provide even up through the winter. I like cutting them back later in the season to be able to enjoy that architectural feel that they give to the garden.
And they do.
Even through the wintertime. But, you know, in some situations, they definitely do look better. You know, go ahead and cut them back, get them out of there, because sometimes they can get, you know, they get mashed down with the snow, wind whips around them, starts breaking them apart, and, you know, they're blowing across the yard.
And we did that on a lot of the commercial properties that we maintain. We've already, you know, started to cut them back. They're just so, you know, in those settings, unless you're out there weekly cleaning up the debris, you can just make the property look trashy. And so, you know, we went through a lot of our commercial properties and went ahead and pruned them back early this year, just so that they look better. So the property looks better during the winter months. But once again, that's a personal preference. Not trying to push Corbin Snow's style, you know, maintenance and programs on other people. But, and you know, I think when it comes to ornamental grasses, you're either, you know, most people know what they want to do with them.
Right. Right. It's just a great plant. One of the really, really underutilized sometimes plants in the landscape is those ornamental grasses. They give you such great growth and color, and the texture is so nice compared to so many of the other plants that are available. And they
come in so many different shapes and sizes and colors, and
right,
you know, they all do different things in the fall as far as the little tassels and plumes that they get on them, which brings another little, you know, spark of interest in the fall. So very diverse, wonderful little plants to use in the garden. We've got to take a quick break. Give us a call, 977-1070. We'll put you on the air when we return. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show on AM 1070 WINA. Welcome to the jungle, and welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show. Welcome to the garden, is what I should say. It does feel like a jungle, though.
We want to help you convert your landscape from a jungle to a garden.
And take care of all your plant diseases.
That's right. That's right. Sometimes it's so easy to walk around outside and feel like your plants are kind of taking over, and it's kind of growing into a jungle after the landscape's been in for a few years. But we want to talk about some tips to help manage that jungle and keep it under control.
Yeah, so if you go to our website at snownose.com, and if you click on gardening tips, I believe it is, at the very top of the gardening tips section, it has a monthly gardening tips. And if you click on that, it'll open up a screen with all the months of the year, and you can click on January for this month. And it's just a garden hints and things that you should be aware of and little things to do. So if you thought you were clear of the woods and didn't have anything to do in the garden for the month of January, I'm sorry to disappoint you. You might want to turn down or off the radio because we're going to go off just a few little hints of things that need to be done right now in the garden, starting with number one, recycling or getting rid of that Christmas tree. We love to get it down out of the house, off to the back porch. Usually it'll sit on the back porch for a week or so, and then it'll make it down to the driveway. If you're good and your trash provider will take that, you can slip it down to the bottom of the driveway and it's gone. But what I see all too often are Christmas trees that end up on the side of the freeway on the interstate, or there's four or five on Avon Street.
Yep.
And they end up on the side of the road. I don't know how that happens. Maybe, they're transporting it on the top of the car, on the back of the truck, and it just happens to fall off.
Yeah, it didn't get tied onto the roof. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But it's everywhere. As we drove up to Baltimore this past week, we must have drove by 100 Christmas trees that just happened to fall off the side of the road.
On I-95. How did that
did
get
you see
there?
Those?
Oh, yeah.
But we have a solution for you. You can bring those Christmas trees out to the garden center on Avon Street. And not only will we welcome your Christmas trees, but we will recycle them for you, and we will turn them into a renewable resource. We'll put them in our compost pile, mix them with our special Christmas holiday mulch blend.
That's right. Make put our holiday blend.
Yeah. All right, Shenandoah Joe. Our holiday blend for next season. Anyway, we'll put it in our compost pile, and we'll let it break down and do its thing, and we'll sell it back to you in the spring. How's that?
Well, maybe not the spring.
Yeah,
but,
next fall.
Yeah. Let it break down a little bit.
But no, you can drop those off, and if it's not during our normal business hours, literally just throw it in the parking lot, and we'll get it on Monday.
That's right.
And, we can take as many as you can bring us. So bring us your Christmas trees, and we should have like a $5 coupon or something for your Christmas tree the next year when you drop off your old Christmas tree.
We can do that.
Let's get that in the works. So a $5 coupon, you bring in your old tree, we'll recycle it for you, you get rid of it, and we'll give you $5. We're giving you $5 to take your Christmas tree back. How's that? That you can use next Christmas to purchase a new tree. All right, so let's move on. Next thing in the garden, excellent time to prune trees. We don't think of doing a lot of pruning right now this time of year, but it's an excellent time to take advantage of being able to see the structure, the infrastructure of a tree. You can still identify dead branches from live branches. Great time to do thinning, limbing up, to just go through the tree and prune it correctly.
That's right. It's so much easier to do it now when you don't have the leaves in the way. And this is actually what I talked about last night on CBS 19. And you get in there and you can remove a lot of that stuff during the spring and summer and even the fall. It's hard to tell, okay, where does this, you go in there and you look at the branch where it ties into the main trunk and everything. Okay, where does this go? But this time of year, you can see how everything is constructed, how the tree is put together, and what's going to happen when you remove particular branches. And it's so much easier to get up in there and work around, and you can see the structure of the tree. You can see what's too thick, what's too crowded, areas with broken branches. You can still see what's dead because you'll be able to tell from the bark, or if you're unsure, just scratch the bark off a little bit with your fingernail or the blade of your pruners. If it's green up underneath that bark, that means it's alive and well. If it's dry and brown up underneath there, then it's dead. Go ahead and take all that out of there. You can see where branches cross over and rub on each other, which is going to cause, particularly for young trees, it's important to get those out of there. Select the branch that's going to be the most structurally desirable to get the other one out of there, so that the crown of the tree has lots of room to grow and develop properly, and you don't end up with issues on down the line.
We were just hired by Abington Crossing, the apartment complex behind Fashion Square Mall, and as we were awarded the contract, she said, well, let's wait till late spring, early summer before we start on this. And I said, ask her reasoning, everything. She's like, so we can tell which trees need to be pruned and which ones don't. We can see where the, you know, which leaves are touching the building. I said, well, if the branch is touching the building, you know, we don't need a leaf there to tell us that.
That's right.
In fact, we're going to be able to go through and do a better pruning this time of year than you are later in the spring once there's foliage on there. So excellent time to take advantage of pruning your trees. All right, we'll continue with the hit list in just a second. Let's go to line number one. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Yes, I have one more question.
Yeah, sure.
I have a, it's not a peach tree, but it came up about 4 years ago, and it is divided, like it's two.
Kind of like a...
I don't know what to call it.
Yeah, kind of like a split trunk coming up.
Yeah. That is like 2 or 3 inches above ground, and it's coming up within 12 inches of a tall red oak.
Okay.
And I want to know what the odds are that I could move this, and if you suggest anything, if you tell me how I could move it. And one of the split things is smaller, a whole lot smaller than the other one, and if I could prune that or cut that off, or I'll just wait and let you.
Yeah, that's kind of what I would advise, where you've got a competing leader coming up like that, and it's probably a fairly shallow angle that they separate from each other at. It's not a whole lot of space in there.
Right, yes.
Yeah, I would go ahead and it is kind of going to kind of be a judgment call as you look at the plant. Pick the best side and leave that and trim the other one off, in which case you say one's bigger than the other.
Yes.
You want to go ahead and leave the big one and take the smaller one off. Go ahead and prune that out of the way. That will help to get the plant to develop a little bit better the way you want it to.
Okay.
As far as moving it, it should be fine to move as long as you can get a good ball of soil around the roots.
And okay, I have pried down in the ground around that with a long screwdriver, and it looks like that I can get enough to put a ball on it or so forth to move it.
Okay. Yeah, that should move pretty well. This is a great time of year to do it, anytime before the leaves come on. Will be excellent time to go ahead and transplant that. Just get a good ball of soil around it. It's good if the soil is good and moist before you do it. And with the weather that we've had, that's, you know, the conditions right now are excellent.
Okay.
And just dig it up with that good ball of soil, wrap it with some burlap or something to keep that ball intact as you're moving it, and get it over into its new home, and you should be off to a great start. Maybe mix a little bit of bumper crop. Uh-huh. In with the into the planting hole and water it in with some Rootmaster, which is a rooting hormone solution to help encourage new root growth.
Yes.
Once it gets into its new home and should be off to a great start.
Thank you very much for that advice. That's what I needed to know.
Thank you so much for listening.
You're welcome.
Have a great day. Bye bye. Did you have anything else you were going to say about that? You looked like you were thinking.
You know, that's one thing. And this is a great time to transplant a lot of plant material to get it out of, you know, if it's in too crowded. It's a, you know, during the dormant season is a great time to be moving plants around and kind of rearranging things in the garden.
Especially with the ground being thaw right now. It was frozen for the month of December, but we're kind of playing opposite roles here. It's thawing out now with these temperatures being up in the 50s last week. And, you know, the extended forecast, you know, upper 40s, 50s, you know, that I can see in the foreseeable future, you're going to have opportunities to do transplanting, planting. It's still a great time to plant. You know, people think, you know, as long as the ground's not frozen, you know, homeowners, it's hard to get into the ground. We're still getting into the ground.
Right.
Want to talk about a large project. We're just about complete. I think they just about finished it yesterday. But if you're in the Dunlora subdivision or the Dunlora area right there on Varia Road, we just completed a beautiful job. If you go down Dunlora Drive, which is the main drag down through Dunlora, and turn left on Loring, about halfway along Loring, you'll see a brand new constructed home there. And we just did a beautiful project. Every aspect, every element of that project we designed and installed. And it's got everything from hardscape walls and walkways. It's got a couple large patios. It's got some stone features and walls, dry stack. But we just completed the planting aspect of the job, as well as the sod. And right. Again, you think, you know, can't put sod down this time of year. And indeed, we just laid about, how many pallets is that? Five or six pallets?
About six.
Yeah. Six pallets. So a pretty large front yard we just installed last week. So as Scott Price called in earlier and mentioned, people are still planning. People are still making plans to do landscaping projects this time of year. So it's never too early to start thinking about your spring project. Visit us online or call us out at the Garden Center. Thank you so much for listening. We're out of time. We'll see you next week on the Snow Nose Garden Show.